Hey, Father Don.
Hi, Ed.
What time is it?
It's Friar time.
From Our Lady of Sorrows Monastery in Chicago, Illinois, and Servite High School in Anaheim, California, it's Friar time. Today's topic: discerning as Our Lady did. And now, here are your hosts, Father Don Seipel, OSM, and Mr. Ed Murphy. Hello, thank you for spending some Friar time with us. I'm Ed Murphy, and with me is Servite Friar, Father Don Seipel, OSM. Hello, Father Don.
Hi, Ed. How are you today? Hi, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing pretty good. A rainy day here in SoCal. So how's it there in Chicago?
Actually, it's about the low 50s and sunny out. So we're quite happy because we had snow a couple of days ago.
I wouldn't do to have some snow here. That's my prayer. Every morning, wake up, please let it be snowy outside. And then all my relatives who live elsewhere say, no, you don't want that.
No, you
all,
don't. So. And the 20th of April having snow was not a good thing. So
pretty much
a blessing from God, but not a good thing to say. So.
All right, so today our topic is discerning as Our Lady did. Understanding how Mary's discernment in her vocation, the many aspects of it, how much we benefit from that. So we'll just kind of do a little start with Mary and how she accepted her vocation, or even why she accepted. I'm sure not an easy thing to do, right, Father Don, in her case?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, when we think about discernment and Our Lady, I think the place to start, obviously, for me at least, is the Annunciation scene. Mm-hmm. Now, Mary is doing ordinary tasks in an ordinary life when, through the angel, God invites her to something very extraordinary, that she was chosen from all the women, past, present, and future, to bear the word of God, to become the one who would bear the Messiah to the world. And what does Mary do in that scene? There are some movements that I think are important for discernment. First of all, she welcomes the word. The word says, "Hail, full of grace." Mary welcomes the word. She welcomes the word because she realizes from her own faith perspective what God is doing. Hmm. That through the angel, God is sending her a revelation, a message. Second, she dialogues with the word. Unlike Zechariah, who questioned God in his dialogue, Mary dialogues with the angel, with God in a sense, wanting clarity of what she's being asked. Then once she welcomes the word and dialogues to the word, she submits to the word. "I am your servant. It'll be done to me as you say." And I think in discernment, those are the three movements that are very, very important for us. Is how do we welcome this word, this inspiration we're receiving from God? Well, like Mary, we welcome the word because we know in faith when God speaks to us, it's always something to build us up, something to encourage us, to strengthen our faith, to call us to be the better version of ourselves that he dreams us to be. Then we have the dialogue with that word. "Lord, what are you really asking of me? Lord, do you think that I can do this? Show me in my life what you see in me and how you're calling me to this. Give me some understanding." Again, we're not questioning the Lord. We're asking questions for clarity so that we can respond like Mary did, say, "Yes, I am your servant. I am willing to do what you ask of me because I believe, as you believe in me, Lord, that I can do it." So I think that's what Mary teaches us, that we come to a point in discernment, and we begin that point, that realizing how faithful God is. Remember, Mary lived in a very, very perilous time the Romans were very cruel conquerors. They would just cause havoc all over the place for no reason at all, just simply because they were in charge. And every person lived in fear that something could happen to them or their family. But in the midst of that, because Mary, being a good Jewish girl, knew the story of God's love for her people, she knew that God was faithful. Hmm. And from that experience of knowing that God was faithful, that's how she welcomes the word, dialogues with the word, and responds to the word out of that sense of her being faithful to her God, who is the faithful one. So in our discernment, I think we start from that point of looking back and saying, you know, how has God shown me his faithfulness? Where has God broken into my life and said, hey, I'm here with you? From those experiences of God's faithfulness and knowing that God is faithful, we start our discernment of what God's calling us to.
It's having that relationship. Obviously, Mary had a relationship with God already, so had that understanding. And that's why, even for ourselves in discerning, you need to have that relationship with God before you can really take it serious, before you can have that important dialogue with him, right?
Right.
If you don't know him and don't have a relationship, if you're not talking with him in prayer, if you're not visiting him in the Eucharist, if you're not taking that time to strengthen that relationship, you're not going to be able to have that dialogue. And, you know, I think about even in that dialogue, Mary saying, hey, you know what, isn't this kind of a little impossible to do for me to have a child when I haven't had a relationship with anyone? I mean, so I think asking real questions is important in that dialogue, you know, but you need to listen for the answers.
And you're very spot on that. We have to ask real questions, because you know, especially when it comes to discerning religious life and or priesthood, you know, there are, because of the church's tradition around religious life, you know, we are asked to be poor, obedient, and chaste for Christ. So there are things that we are willing to sacrifice, because we know that they free us up to follow the passion of our life, which is searching for Christ and falling in love with him. But I think, too, part of one of the beginning places is that discernment starts in the ordinariness of our lives. You know, I often say to people when I preached or taught that text of Annunciation from Luke 1 is, you know, Mary was doing ordinary things. You know, the great Renaissance painters have Mary sitting with a book in her lap. Well, there were no books back then. The only written things were on scrolls in the tabernacle in the synagogues, the Torah scrolls and the scrolls of the prophets. So, you know, I say to people, you know, maybe Mary was doing the morning dishes after breakfast. Or maybe Joseph had brought over a tunic of his that he tore when he was making a cabinet for the new couple down the street. She was doing ordinary tasks, and God broke in with this extraordinary news. If we think about it, that's exactly what God does with us. He breaks in with extraordinary grace in the ordinariness of our lives. You know, people say to me for years, Father Don, how did you get your call? I said, you know, I really don't know.
Yeah.
The heavens didn't open. I didn't get an apparition. My phone didn't ring. It was Jesus on the other side. What I did, when I look at my call to religious life and priesthood, it was in the love of my mother and father for myself and my four siblings that mirrored the unconditional love of God.
Hmm.
You know, my parents sacrificed for us like all parents do. They loved us, cared for us, challenged us, disciplined us so that we can be the best version of ourselves. And it was in that ordinary love of a mother and father for their children that I found the call. Dovetailing with something you said too, you know, people kind of want to know, where do I begin to learn how to listen to God? Very simple. Open your Bible.
Right, yeah.
Your Bible. You know, and I tell people, start with the Gospels of the day. and get in the habit of reading the gospel of the day and take 5 minutes to read the gospel and sit with it. You know, ask the Spirit to be with you. And I think over days and weeks and months of practicing that every single day, then we begin to see what the Vatican Council talked about, is that when we read the scriptures, we're in conversation with God. And then it becomes easier for us to hear the movement of the Spirit, to hear the voice of the Savior say, come, follow me.
Yeah, and we may have to add, instead of saying open your Bible, we may have to say go to your Bible app on your phone and read.
Sure. And, you know, the good thing is, even the and especially the Catholic versions, you can get a couple of apps that have them. You're right. Exactly. Yeah. So be it app, be it the actual physical Bible, I think we have to begin to read the readings. I mean, just even the website for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have the daily readings. You know, start reading the Gospels, but practice it every day for a while. And I also think, Ed, too, is that the more we do that, the more hungry we become to wanting to do it tomorrow and the next day, because we hear this wonderful conversation with our God.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one more point when we're talking about the Annunciation, where Mary is a model for discernment, is that, you know, not to be afraid of the call. You know, a lot of times guys kind of get that feeling that, you know, being called to religious or priesthood, and it scares them, and they push it away, and they don't want to address it. You know, and the reality is, you, accepting it and discerning it is a much better way to deal with it, because maybe you discern it's not the right way, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but if you push it away, if you're afraid of that call, you're not handling it well, you know? And we, as vocation directors, we experience that, where guys refuse to listen to it, and then much later on in life, they throw their hands up and say, okay, I've been pushing this away for so long. You know, with Mary, that model of just saying, okay, well, all right, what is it that you're really asking here? And then let's talk about this. So I think that's
it. I think about it too, though, especially for people who feel the initial call and then kind of put it off or push it to the back burner, and then many years later they actually engage again in discernment. You know, it speaks also to the patience that God has with us. You know, God's a very, very patient God. You know, and we see that even in the Exodus experience, you know. And I love that text in Exodus where God has had enough of the people. And he's gonna kind of, and Moses says, now hold it. Think about this for a moment. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But Moses gets God to realize that these are his people. And God becomes incredibly patient with us. I mean, the ninth chapter of Nehemiah, in that prayer that Nehemiah, I think it's Nehemiah or Ezra, preaches, it thanks God for being patient with us. So I think discernment is also about being patient with ourselves and patient with God and listening well, you know. It is scary. It is scary to enter religious life or priesthood because there's so much around it. There's almost sometimes a false mystique around it that, you know, that people have this misconception what religious life is or priesthood. But I think discernment helps us realize, and when we go to visit these communities, and that we realize, you know, religious and priests are still human people, and they, you know, they do laugh, and we do have some enjoyable moments in life, but we are also passionate about what we're called to do, and that's to proclaim the gospel. And I think what happens in discernment, when discernment is, when we give ourselves the space to discern well, we realize that the call of God is actually a very exciting thing. You know, I've this August will be 39 years that I entered formation.
Wow.
For the community. And you know what? It's been a blessing. It's been a grace. It's really been a grace.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And you know, the thing with Mary too is the discernment didn't end with the Annunciation. You know, she experienced so much in her life that, you know, her discernment was continual. I mean, from the prophecy of Simeon, right? When she hears the news that she's got to discern, oh, you know, am I going to stick with this plan or am I going to run and hide? You know, am I going to run away from God, which many of us do. You know, we try to run away from God. So the discernment didn't just end there. It's when things weren't going her way, I'm sure there had to be a moment where she was like, should I bring an end to all this? Should I, you know, really question God, or do I just let God, let him play out in my life and see where it takes us? And, you know,
I think it goes back to that sense of the faithfulness of trusting the faithfulness of God. And, you know, and as we in the order practice the devotion of the seven sorrows of Mary, each one of those sorrows, Mary makes a choice in her discernment to continue trusting the faithfulness of God. That's, you know, I mean, even when her and Joseph and the baby are traversing the desert, going to, you know, somewhere most likely, possibly Alexandria in Egypt, where there was a large Jewish community at the time, you know, she had to be worried, mm-hmm. and Joseph did too, but they also knew that God was with them, this God who is faithful to his people, who had called both of them, and there's a great adventure of parenting the Messiah, you know, that God would take care of things. And you're right. I think that her discernment had to continue going on. But because of her faith in God, she could say, yes, you know what? This may be difficult, but the Lord will see us through. The Lord will see us through.
Yeah, it's an understanding of the love that God has for her and God has for all of us. And, you know, there's understanding it, and then there's also accepting it. And to accept it, it's, yeah, I got to trust him. And what's happening, you know, is happening for a reason. And like you said, and that we, you know, we stress it so much, dialogue, prayer, scripture, there's always an answer somewhere, but you have to listen for it. You can't turn yourself away and just question all the time and not wait for him to answer. And I think that's what Mary, I'm sure there was a point in Mary's life where there was an excitement too about, you know, where is this leading to, you know, that, and I see that in religious life and priesthood, there is an excitement as well, that goes along with the continual discernment of what am I called to do and where am I expected to go. So I think, you know, understanding that as part of the discernment is also very important. And that's why, we talk about continual formation, right? That process continues throughout the life of religious.
You know, I think, too, is that, you know, part of the discernment process for anybody who's considering religious life and priesthood is to find a trusted religious brother, or religious sister, or priest, or a spiritual director. Who can listen to them and help them clarify what is actually being asked of them. Because, you know, in discernment, I mean, we can discern forever, never, never, but never reach a point. Discernment has to reach a point of a decision at some point. And that's what discernment's about. And so having that trusted spiritual friend or someone we know we can trust our lives to, who will hold it in reverence and confidentiality, that gives us somebody else who's intently listening to us and listening to us share with them the movements of the Spirit in our discernment, so we can be able to, they can help us say, yeah, it sounds like the Lord's calling you to this. So that kind of also throws us back deeper into prayer and saying, Lord, is this what you're asking me for? You know, I also think too, you know, and I have to agree with you very much, is that it had to be scary. I mean, you know, you're a 13, 14 year old girl, and God's saying, you get to be the mother of the Messiah of the world. So that had to be a very daunting, it's not just being a mother, you're a mother of the Lord of heaven and earth. As the scriptures say, who cannot be contained in the universe, but was contained in her womb. I mean, this is something big. And Joseph, too. Joseph has thrown a curveball. But both of them, with faith, accept the invitation of God. And I think, you know, it's easy, at least in my experience of discernment, it can be easy to say to God, you got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Or you got the wrong person. But the Lord will, if the Lord is truly the one who's, we're dialoguing with it and the discernment process, the Lord will remind us that we are loved, we are good, we are His, and if we trust Him, He'll give us the tools to accomplish the task He invites us to.
Yeah, as we wrap this up, I encourage those of you who are spending this prior time with us to you know, read the Gospels and look at Mary's story in the eyes of a discerner, right? Even having someone else. What's Mary do? She goes to Elizabeth to help Elizabeth, but also probably to confide in her and talk with her. And she has Elizabeth to help her and Joseph to help her. So when you read that, look at that discernment process that's going on in there and use Mary as that example. And, you know, of course, the faithfulness of Mary is key to this. It's like she understood, accepted that love, and just trust in God. And we all need to do that. So. Father Don, would you like to end with a blessing for us?
Absolutely. Father, I ask you to bless all of us, your children, whom you hold close to your heart, and then give us mercy and peace and blessing in our day. Give us the courage to listen well to you, the courage to respond to your call, to follow the passion of our hearts, to serve you in all things, and to serve your brothers, our brothers and sisters, your children, in all things. Father, we ask you to hear us with the intercession of Our Lady and St. Joseph. We ask you to bless us, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father Don. If you'd like to know more about the Servite, you could go to our website at servite.org. And if you are discerning a vocation to religious life and would like to contact us, you can do so at vocations@serviteusa.org. Or you can call us at 855-676-1233. We would like to thank James Forrester, Director of Communications for the USA Province of the Servants of Mary. We would like to thank the American Wake for the theme music. And, of course, we would like to thank all of you for joining us for some prior time. So for Father Don Seipel, OSM, I'm Ed Murphy. Thank you for listening, and God bless.